he said in the commentary, like, that the team who had a who seemed to have a plan and they stuck to their plan won the game. I mean, scoring 1-4, you wouldn't think it would win any match, but they did. They won 1-4 to 3 points against Featherton. I mean, Featherton will be kicking themselves because they had, I think, something like 17 wides to about 5 or something in the game. Featherton missed frees when it came to the important part of the game. Like, Featherton started well. They had 2 points on the board before the water break, 2-0. They led the first water break, Keane Byrne and John Tubbard, and then after the water break, Sarsfield's kind of changed things around a little bit. Lee Chin had been playing midfield, he went in full forward, and by just being in there, he caused a bit of panic in the Federer defence, and there was two men actually marking him, I think, at the time. But he got a point, and then Conal Clancy and Colin Brown had Sarsfield in front at the break, like, and it was like, we went in the next section of the game, Lee Chin got a point before the next water break, like, so it was 4 points to two after, you know, half time and two water breaks, and Federer hadn't scored, like, since probably the 7th or 8th minute of the game. And then Brian Power scored a point. Brian Power also had a chance for a goal, hit the underside of the crossbar, came back out to Colm O'Dowda, and then you know, a few minutes later, then Sean Paling soloed up through the middle of the field and finishes the goal chance that they got, and that was ultimately the win. Like, but to be fair to Paul McLaughlin, the manager of the Sarsies, like, they stuck religiously to their plan. Like, they, when they lost possession, they went back, formed a line under 45, took the ball out, or to turn Federer over time and time again, and then carried it forward. And you know, they didn't, like, they weren't creating a lot of chances themselves, like, but they did take more chances than what Federer did. And I think if they look back on the accuracy stats in the game, I mean, Federer's was probably below, you know, probably below 20% accuracy for shots, like, whereas the Sarsfields probably kicked 55 or 60% of their chances, I'd say, at the end of the game.
Yeah, and absolutely, a lot of shots dropping into Colm O'Dowda's hands as well, which will be very disappointing for the Federer lads. But as you mentioned, Sarsfield, I suppose, they know that you can't really win a game in the opening 10-15 minutes, but you can certainly lose it. So they did have this blanket defence, but it did work out for them, and I suppose they backed their fitness towards the end of the game, and it turns out they were right to do that.
Yeah, 100%, and they did introduce a couple of lads, and like Sean Paling was one of those lads that they introduced. I was very impressed with some of their players today. I was really impressed with Josh Shiel. I thought he worked immense for them throughout the game. Kyle Kerwin and Kieran Kerwin, Sean Kelly, you know, these lads, and they had to make changes because players were absolutely goosed at that stage. Like, you know, to be fair to Federer, like, too, I mean, they kept battling away the whole way, like, but, and you know, sometimes you just need to get a bit of luck behind you, like, and Federer didn't get any of that. And I think, to be fair to Federer, like, they didn't get any of it throughout the whole year this year. I mean, they were in a winning position in a couple of games hurling that football, and now they've ended up being relegated twice in the one season. And you know, it may be the sort of kick up the rear end that Federer needs, that, you know, because they are potentially a very, very good side, but it's just delivering it on today. And you know, I think I said it previewing this game during the week, like, I opened by saying, like, the Sarsfields never get best in relegation finals, and you'd be mad to back against them. Well, I predicted a Federer to win today, but you know, I should have stuck to what I said at the start, because Sarsfields, the mentality that they had there today, they were calm, focused, collected, and they knew how to get the job done. When the chance came, they took it, and that was ultimately what won the game for them.
Yeah, very unfortunate for Federer. They had given the two county finalists tomorrow a real rattle in the group stages, and unfortunately the results fall the way they are, and themselves and the hurlers are both intermediate next year, but still plenty of talent down there, so they probably won't be in intermediate for too much longer. The second game in New Ross today was the Intermediate A final. That was Clubon against Clongeen. Kind of a similar game, this one. Clubon had taken an early advantage there, had been 5 points up after that Conal Flood goal, and unfortunately he just couldn't hold on, and Clongeen really showed battling qualities.
Yeah, it was a really enjoyable game, that second game. I mean, Clubon were really blew out of the traps, like Bob Whitty, Aina Doyle, Colm Keogh. They were 3 points to one up after about 10 minutes, I'd say. And then, like, Conal Flood's goal was as good a goal as you see. Kick out from the goalkeeper, won by Colm Keogh, hand pass off to another man, I'm not sure who got that, was, and then he passed it inside the Conal Flood. Flood just headed towards goal, and bang, top corner finish. You know, as good a finish as you'll see in a county final. But they had him 1-3 to 2 points up at that stage. They got another point from Bob Whitty before half time. Then Adam Ryan kicked a score for Clongeen just before half time to steady the ship, because Clongeen had gone a long time without scoring in the game. But then it was Clubon. Like, I don't think Clubon scored for between the first water break and the second water break. So they went a huge length of time as well without scoring. Darren Murphy, Shane Cahill, Paddy Cullen, Adam O'Sullivan, and then James E. Rochford. That put the Clongeen level at 8 points to 1-5. And then there was a monster of a shoulder hit from Jamie Keaton that dislodged the ball from, I'm not sure who had it for Clamont at the time, but it was a real lift for Clongeen at that stage in the game. Got them up the field. Adam Ryan kicks the point. Then Shane Kilkenny, the fullback, ended up and kicked the point after giving an absolute exhibition of how to play a fullback role. Stood behind his man or beside his man for every ball that came in and just got a hand to knock it away every single time for Clongeen. And then he kicks a point to put them 10 points to 1-5 up. And then Bob Whee did have a late point for Clamont, but Clamont were guilty of having two men black carded in injury time or in the last 8 or 9 minutes of the game. One of them actually received a red card for throwing his gloves off after being black carded. But again, I think Clongeen were probably value for their victory. I know Clamont could have won it, but Clongeen had probably created more chances. And you know, once they stopped missing the chances that they were missing in the first half and started taking the second half, they eventually got back level with Clamont and got the scores to win the game from. But you know, I think I mentioned today, for New Ross District team to come back up in one of the grades, after losing two teams over the weekend, it's good for the New Ross District. But you know, Clamont definitely probably a team that would concentrate more on hurling, but certainly they have an abundance of footballers out there too. And Colm Keogh was as good as you'd expect him to be today in midfield, and he had a right battle with a chap called Robert Farrell from Clongeen, really tall chap, and he really battled hard with Colm throughout the game. And there's other good performances for Clongeen. Emmett Kent as well at centre forward, and Shane Cahill at centre back. Emmett Kent actually went off, but you know, and Paul Curtis didn't start for Clongeen either, who would be one of their main forwards in the club, a previous county experience as well, but it was a really good, exciting game of football, and Clongeen well deserved winners in the end.
Clongeen really ruining the water breaks there. They only scored 1 point after the first water break, so that's three quarters of the game where they just managed to get 1 point. So listen, that's not good enough to win a county final, and Clongeen are champions. They'll be intermediate next year as well. And just finally before we go, obviously the big one is tomorrow. It's Shelmaliers versus Gusarana Rahalies. Shelmaliers probably the form team coming into this one, but Gusarana have really battled back and taken some really big scalps in the championship already this year. So which way do you think the final is going to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's two very, very good teams. One team that have been, you know, really solid the whole way through the championship, Shelmaliers, and you know, their performance against Glenbarrentown, they probably looked unbeatable that day. They were top notch that day and were the best of the winners in the quarterfinals. They came through the easier way, but then Gusarana are probably more battled hardened. They've had to come through some very close games and they've battled hard. I mean, against Castletown, they were back level Castletown after 2 or 3 minutes second half, and you thought there was no way that Gusarana could go and hold on here with a gale force wind against them, but they did, and they ground out victory that day. And then last week against St. Martin's as well, they grounded out by having the finisher. St. Martin's were guilty of missing chances, and Gusarana have finishers in Minnie Ryan, Mark Rossiter, Gavin Sheen can come forward. I thought they were very good in midfield the last day, John Roach, a couple of lads so. You know, Shelmaliers have Brian Malone, they've Glenn Malone, they've Simon Donoghue, they have Pádraig O'Leary kicked the lights out against Glenbarrentown. If he's able to reproduce something like that again, get 3 or 4 points tomorrow, it'll put Shelmaliers a long way on the road to victory. But for me personally, I liked Gusarana in the quarter final, semi final. And I'm gonna stick with them because I think they have the shooters. If it ends up being a close game and you're heading down the stretch, I think they have the players that could pick off a goal to win the game for them. So I'm going to give a slight nod to Gusarana by 2 or 3 points.